I'm Dave Jackson, cryptocurrency and blockchain editorial writer here at StockAz.com. This is episode 4 in our series of Blockchain Cryptocurrency 101 podcasts. And our mission going forward is to help investors and listeners navigate the sometimes murky waters of blockchain technology and digital currency. Today, we're very excited to be joined by one of the blockchain industry's most respected and experienced names, Jonathan Amell. He is a Bitcoin tech entrepreneur, open blockchain advocate. He's the associate researcher at the Montreal Economic Institute, a sitting member on the FinTech Committee of AMF, Quebec's financial markets regulator, and founder of Montreal-based L'Académie Bitcoin, a firm that assists organizations in learning and integrating Bitcoin technology and its blockchain. A pioneer of the Bitcoin community in Canada, Mr. Amell has taken part in Bitcoin technology education and awareness since 2013 and has promoted decentralized technologies like Bitcoin and Ethereum at many events around the globe. Mr. Amell made international headlines in March of 2018 as he spoke before the House of Commons Standing Committee on Finance, sparking controversy by saying that although Bitcoin demonstrated a great deal of potential, Bitcoin Cash was a downright scam. Thanks for joining us, Jonathan.
Thank you, Dave. Great to be here.
Great. Well, I guess that's where we should probably start. The Bitcoin Cash or Bcash community and its biggest backer, Roger Ver, went into what we could safely call full damage control mode. They then activated a pretty significant disinformation campaign against you. Did you expect that kind of backlash and the amount of media coverage you received?
No, to be honest, I don't really care about the paid shills around Roger Ver. As of now, Bcash is collapsing. Nobody's really using it. They don't have any developer community, and believe me, I work with most of the major miners in Canada, and not a single one of them is mining Bcash as of now. So I said that Bcash was a scam because Roger Ver and his minions are deliberately misleading people by trying to hijack the Bitcoin name. They can mine their altcoin chain if they want, but it's definitely not Bitcoin for sure.
Interesting. Now, before we get into the nitty-gritty of digital currency, can you give us a brief background bio of yourself and how you initially became invested in crypto and blockchain technology?
Yeah, sure. I became interested in the field, I would say, around 2012, 2013. I have a background in IT. So I did my studies in networking and security. So I worked as an independent consultant, mainly in the payment business, mostly integrating payment technology into mobile application in the early 2010s. And that's where I got the interest around Bitcoin. I started to read about it. And the more I dig into it, the more I was finding the same complexity and the same promises that I saw with open systems like Linux, for example. I saw a lot of similarities with Linux and the foundational protocols of the internet. So that's why it really sparked my interest, and I started to dig deeper. Started to attend events here in Montreal. We had an interesting place here in Montreal called the Bitcoin Embassy, which was the first physical embassy in the world surrounding Bitcoin community and Bitcoin tech. So that was a really interesting point to meet here in Montreal. So that's really where my interest came from.
That is interesting. Now, blockchain, Bitcoin, crypto mining, they're terms that are now becoming part of the mainstream tech lexicon, if you will. What is it and what do you think is really driving the hype?
Yes, there's surely a lot of hype for sure. It's important that we separate. So let's define blockchain. So blockchain to me is of course an important part of Bitcoin, but it's not the technology behind Bitcoin. So the blockchain is a ledger that it's created spontaneously with the voluntary exchange of many actors in the Bitcoin ecosystem. So we have miners, we have the users, we have the nodes, we have the developers. So all these people collaborating and creating a protocol create that distributed ledger, which is the Bitcoin blockchain. And to me, this is this is the, pretty much the only pure blockchain, because it is really immutable. It's probably the only entirely decentralized and a distributed network. So blockchain technology, it's a very large term that seems to include a lot of sub technology. For example, you have cryptographic signature, you have timestamping, you have the fact that the database is distributed. But most of the project we hear about, for example, coming from the Deloitte's and then IBM's, it's not, to me, it's not really blockchain. It's so, I prefer the term distributed ledger for these project. I think most of them are legitimate project. They're trying to solve legitimate problems, but the killer use case of the blockchain is still Bitcoin to me.
Fair enough. Now, can you elaborate on your company, L'Académie Bitcoin, please excuse my lousy French, and explain to our audience what you're all about.
Yeah, so L'Académie Bitcoin is it's a consulting firm, and we're entirely focused on public blockchain technology, such as public blockchain projects, so mainly Bitcoin. We dig a little bit into Ethereum and stuff like that to do mostly education. What we do mostly is we do education and informational session with mostly clients in the institutional financial space. So we do a lot of training with executive in the financial space in a non-technical way. So to help them understand what is it all about, why the technology is important, why Bitcoin is there to stay, how is it going to impact their business model in the foreseeable future. So I try to do that in an academic way. So of course I'm biased towards the technology. But I stick to the fact and try to make them understand the complex technology in a simple way. Yeah.
Okay, Jonathan. Now we're seeing more and more traditional commercial and investment banks like RBC, National Bank of Canada. They're investing in blockchain technology, no doubt about it. Why now? And where do you foresee the mainstream investment community going with blockchain?
I see the hype with blockchain as of now is pretty much the same as with AI. And for me, 90% of everything I read about blockchain is, excuse the term, but it is bullshit. I like the remaining 10%. I think the remaining 10% is substance, but the 90% of everything I read about is mostly bullshit. There's a lot of distributed ledger project, but when you dig into blockchain and Bitcoin in general, you understand that there's not really an interesting blockchain use case if all the parties transact with each other on a closed network and everybody trusts each other. So, for example, we recently saw a press release from the National Bank of Canada that advertised that they just did an emission of some kind of securities on a blockchain system with a JP Morgan in the US. But the truth is, they could have done that with Google Drive if they want, or Excel, because they mutually trust each other. So it's not really, well, first of all, they don't need they don't really need the blockchain. And what they are using is probably in-house distributed database that is in no way innovative. This system has been around since the last, 20, 30 years. Public cryptography has been around since 40 years. So the fact that the banks are just waking up to the promise of digitally signing in and timestamping transaction, to me, it's interesting, but it's in no way innovative. So the real innovation to me is still Bitcoin.
Okay, so you've just returned from Consensus 2018 in New York City, claiming to be the world's largest cryptocurrency conference. What was your involvement there, and what were your main takeaways from the event?
Yeah, I was just an attendant. I was just invited to participate. So I was at the first Consensus. I was not the first one, but I was at the second one 3 years ago. So I attended consensus for the last 3 years. And first thing is, it's amazing how fast that event has grown in the last 3 years. 3 years ago, I think it was under 500 people. Last year, it was 1,500. And this year, it was 8,500 people. So that's very, 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 it's a huge growth, but it's still, to me, it was really mostly a scam trade show. When I was looking into the trade show, there's a lot of ICOs. That was amazing to see all these projects. I mean, 99% of them is not going to make it. They are not going to be around in the next year or so. But there was an interesting set of speakers. That was interesting to see, for example, the opening speech was done by the Federal Reserve of St. Louis president, gave a little bit of background on the history of multiple currency in the U.S. That was interesting to see that type of speaker at major crypto events. To me, like I said, the ratio of 90% bullshit, 10% substance was still valid at that event. And to me, I really paid attention to, for example, the session where we were discussing about the future of the Lightning Network, how we're going to develop a second layer of payments on top of Bitcoin. I really like what I saw from Blockstream. They are developing sidechains and settlement system that would be built on top of Bitcoin. I like what I saw from the Ledger boot. That's an interesting company that is growing like crazy, building hardware digital wallets. We talked earlier before the show, and they just and during consensus, they announced an institutional custodian solution with Nomura, a major investment bank in the U.S. So that's really interesting to see the growth of the sector. But there is still a lot of noise, and I'm not sure I'm willing to pay that entry price next year. And there's a lot of talk in the community that probably everything Bitcoin and protocol related is going to fork into another smaller and more, I would say, affordable conference in the future.
So what you're saying is that you have better things to do with $3,000?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, it's okay. When I'm an independent consultant. Yes, we have a small company, but it's still a lot of money for what we saw.
Right. Now, in the last couple of days, we've seen the cryptocurrency market take a couple of fairly big body blows. Firstly, a thing called Operation Crypto Sweep, which is a combined international crackdown on fraudulent sales by various securities regulators. And secondly, yesterday, the U.S. Justice Department's opening of a criminal probe into claims of digital coin market manipulation. Big news, thoughts?
Yes, I think, like you said in your introduction, I'm collaborating with financial market regulators here in Quebec, and one of their main area of focus is, of course, initial coin offering. So there's a lot of scams going around, people launching coins out of nowhere, and uneducated investor jumping on board and losing all their investments. So I think that's a good thing to see regulators trying to make sense of all this mess. Speaking of Bitcoin market manipulation, to me, it's still a pretty deep market, and it's probably difficult to manipulate. Well, of course, if you have a couple of hundred millions in Bitcoin, you're probably able to move the price a little bit. But it can happen in any market. We see it a lot in the small cap stocks, and there's multiple occasion in history where even big banks colluded to, for example, collude to manipulate a major asset like LIBOR. LIBOR rates were manipulated a couple of years ago. Gold market was manipulated for some time as well. So, I mean, this market is everybody trying to gain advantage, but it's a very, very big. Well, it's not a big market in terms of total asset size, but it's growing quickly. It's getting more diverse. So, to me, it's interesting that we see the regulators paying attention to that asset class, but to me, it's mostly noise than substance.
Well, as a sidebar to that, I've been reading and researching on essentially the fraudulent copying of white papers by some of these ICOs. Do you know, or do you have any opinion on that?
Yeah, I read that some ICOs just change the logos and just copy the white paper from another project and raise a couple of million. And even the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission in the US, they did a fake ICO just to educate people. That was a pretty interesting thing. So they did a really legitimate ICO site, and they tried to scam people just to educate them on how easy what it was to lure people into, and they promise a lot of gains with their project. So just to, so I think that's a very innovative way for from the regulators to educate people. I really like what I see and what I read from the CFTC, so the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. So it's pretty much all the notice and the paper they're publishing kind of, I would say, confirm the status that Bitcoin is a digital commodity. So it's not a currency, it's not a security, it's probably some kind of digital commodity. It's probably different when we talk about, for example, Ripple. So the XRP token is probably a security. EOS, that was launched last year at the at Consensus, they rented panels on Times Square to advertise the token launch. So that's a security offering. So it's going to be interesting to see in the next few months how the regulators are going to crack down on projects like EOS, Ripple, and maybe even Ethereum is on the scope, is on the radar of regulators.
Well, and that seems to me to be, when you look at regulation, whether it's from any of the traditional watchdog organizations like the SEC, whatever, to me, and to, I think, to investors to a larger degree, is that regulation equals transparency, and transparency offers the investor, you know, a sense of well-being, a sense of knowing that there's they're not going to get scammed.
Yeah, sure. There was, when you look into the cryptocurrency market, especially Bitcoin, there's a lot of self-regulation within the space. So, for example, if we take the example of BitConnect, a Ponzi scheme, in their very early days, people were warned by experts in the Bitcoin community that BitConnect was probably a Ponzi scheme. And at the very, I'm talking about like last year and 2 years ago, I mean, very early, people from the Bitcoin community warned people about BitConnect. Yep. And when you look at the regulators, just officially emitted a warning statement against BitConnect in the last few months. So I guess people that were paying attention in the space were mostly warned by people in the Bitcoin community than regulators that came after BitConnect collapse earlier this year. So of course regulation is important, but there is already laws in Canada related to securities trading. There is law related to taxes and capital gains. And I think in the broad scope of existing legal framework, we can accommodate. And that was kind of my message at the House of Commons. I don't think we need to regulate in a specific way to accommodate Bitcoin. Bitcoin can fit in the actual regulation framework in Canada, for sure.
Well, on the question of transparency, if you were to advise the novice cryptocurrency investor on the major do's and don'ts of getting into the market, what do you think they'd be?
Well, first of all, it's still a young market, and it's still a pretty small asset class. And when you talk about market cap, I mean, all cryptocurrency as of now is less than $500 billion. So that's a small, well, that's a pretty big S&P company. But when you compare to gold is $8 trillion. Total stock market is around $80 trillion. So of course, it's an asset class that's going to react pretty violently to any news, whether positive or negative. So my advice would be to invest a small amount that you can entirely lose. So you don't bet the farms on either Bitcoin or another cryptocurrency, because it's still fairly young and it's still a risky investment. We have to reiterate that. I will also advise people to try to learn the basics on how Bitcoin works and why it's still around it's going to be 10 years in the next October. Why it's still around? Why it succeeded as a project? So it's the same thing when people invest in the stock market. They try to learn a little bit about the companies. You look at financials. So there's no specific fundamentals like that in Bitcoin, but try to learn the basic of cryptography, the basic of the proof of work system, how the consensus work, how the currency itself is traded on the different markets. So I think that would be the basic due diligence that an investor would have to do. Yeah.
No, I appreciate that. That's a great tip for any investor joining the crypto market. Now, Bitcoin or crypto mining is beginning to make a significant impact here in Canada and around the world, with Canadian-based companies like Hut 8, Hive, BTL, and HashChain leading the way. What do you see as the economic and environmental factors driving, once again, a relatively new technology?
Well, Canada is very well positioned in the world to become a leader in I call it blockchain infrastructure. So that's the infrastructure layer of blockchain project. So let's jump back 15 years back in time, and just imagine that I would tell you, so Dave, in downtown Vancouver, in downtown Montreal, we're going to build data center, multiple stories, multiple floors data center full of servers that's going to serve online application. It's going to consume megawatts and megawatts of electricity, and it's going to just host internet application. You would say I'm crazy. And I think that's exactly the stage of blockchain mining, the blockchain infrastructure stage we're seeing right now. It's still very early. So people see the space as very risky. People don't, when you look at institutional investor, when you look at governments, they don't believe there's a future in that technology. So that's why we see a lot of objection, especially in Quebec. We kind of see a turnaround from Hydro-Québec, which is the main utility here in Quebec. Originally, Hydro-Québec was very was looking into Bitcoin mining as a very profitable way to spend energy surplus, because we have huge energy surplus in Quebec, and the dynamic of electricity producing in hydroelectricity is if you don't consume the surplus, you're losing it. So the best way to spend that energy would have Bitcoin miners to consume it and have additional revenue for the state company. So that's interesting, because they were initially very positive towards mining, and until the actual Liberal government of Philippe Couillard stepped in and blocked all the development in the blockchain space in Quebec. And that's pretty sad, because the initial orientation of Hydro-Québec was very positive towards the scene. Of course, there was a lot of demand. I mean, I think they received thousands of demand from a lot of potential Chinese investors. So I guess they got a little bit afraid. But we have a lot of very well-established local miners here in Quebec. I'm thinking about Bitfarms. Bitfarms is probably one of the largest miners in the world. For sure, they are in the top five. They have huge project in remote areas of Quebec. And that's the interesting part. Not only they are investing in Quebec, but if you know the geography of Quebec, so we have remote areas, for example, the north coast of Quebec, cities like Baie-Comeau. We have remote areas like Saguenay. So we have a closed paper mill that are not running anymore, not producing anything. And we have private investors that are willing to buy these closed assets with private money and launch them back into cryptocurrency mining, consume energy for sure. Of course, it's not going to create as much job as, for example, aluminum smelting plant or traditional mining, but mm-hmm. it's still new technology jobs that won't be created otherwise. So it's very sad to see that the political fights got into the sector and blocking private investment in Quebec. But we hope to see there's probably a new government in the next few months here in Quebec, and they're more positive towards the sector. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, I'm old enough to remember the James Bay Hydro project back in the 70s. And, you know, I recall back even in those days that the idea was that you're going to provide more than enough for the province and hopefully be able to sell off to New York, Vermont, et cetera. Now there's a perfect opportunity with Bitcoin mining. Seems to me to be a win-win, but
Yeah, you're right. And we were always sold the story that the hydroelectricity that we produce was kind of the oil of Quebec. It's kind of like the petroleum of, for example, Alberta, they have oil and gas. And here in Quebec, we have hydroelectricity. And we were always sold the story that one day we're going to find good project that we could invest in and become richer as a society by profiting from hydroelectricity. And now we have a very good opportunity to sell that. And just believe me, the Bitcoin miners, they don't ask for any subsidies or loans from the government. They just ask to consume electricity at the market price. So that's interesting. It's amazing to block a private investment in a sector that's in remote areas that really needs investment in the technological space, for sure.
Well, let's keep an eye on that one. It'll be interesting. We have a lot of opportunities in British Columbia as well for Bitcoin farm mining. And a lot of, like I said, the companies I mentioned earlier are heavily involved in it. Finally, Jonathan, if you could look into that magic crystal ball, how do you see the future of blockchain and, to a lesser extent, cryptocurrency changing the world as we know it?
I would say that in the next few months, maybe a year or so, we're going to see the blockchain, not Bitcoin narrative completely collapse. We're going to realize that private blockchain doesn't have much of a value to organization. I remember, like I said, I have a training in IT, and I remember the early 2000s. There was still a debate around CTOs and boards around are we going to build corporate solution on intranet, or are we going to build corporate solution on internet application? And when you look where we are now, so the internet application camp pretty much won over the intranet camp. So nobody has an intranet server around anymore. So it really makes sense. It really made sense to develop private application on top of the public internet application stack. So I think it's going to be the same development in the blockchain space, where viable projects going to be developed on public blockchains like Bitcoin, and it's going to be the fundamental protocol powering this space, kind of like TCP/IP was the protocol behind the internet, mostly for value transfer, simple applications like monetary transfer, settlement, and stuff like that. Everything related to smart contract, to me, it's still very, very early. It's really difficult to say what's going to be the winning platform. I don't know at all if I'm not really sure if Ethereum, even if it's the second biggest cryptocurrency smart contract platform, is going to be the winning player in the field. That's what I say to my clients when we do presentation. That everything related to smart contract is really, really early, and it's really difficult to know where it's going to end.
Great stuff. Well, thanks again, Jonathan, for joining us today on our Stockhouse Blockchain Cryptocurrency 101 podcast. I thought it was very informative and entertaining, and a wonderful discussion with you. Have a great day and au revoir.
Thank you. Bye.